Sam Amari, Yubal Wanjara, Yubal Yalada.
Kapo gaiga mura mabagal.
The Kundra Men's Group Talk Session, Bama Bipper Media. It's 98.7. Welcome to Google Yarral. Once again, we are back right here on 98.7 BBM Cairns. And we are back here, myself, Bernard, BJ, Sabadi Nana, here with the one and only.
Yes, myself, Graham Brady. Good to be back, BJ. We had a bit of a layoff there.
Yep.
Especially with the virus, and just for everybody out there, how everybody is coping with it. Hopefully all right, and we'll see what the future brings, I suppose.
Yeah, so that's kind of with our kind of welcome back. Kick it off again, second half. our session today is about, you know, for Google Yarral. It's kind of, we're going to talk about, you know, what's happened and, you know, and how we're going to move forward, you know, and what's happening with Kundur. We've just had our first meet and greet barbecue, so we'll give you a bit of a yarn about that too.
Yes, with the last Wednesday, we had our first gathering. Leading up to the gathering, we didn't know what to expect, especially with how things are being laid out now. But we wanted to make sure that we get at least started within the mid-year range. That way there, we've got a good scope then from now until the end of the year to be able to bring certain issues and certain concerns to the listeners out there. And always our main point of focus is our men's group, but also it also developed out from there as well, because we live in a community of both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. And because of our existence now, I think about a year and a half, we've been operating now.
Yeah, just about. Getting on to 2 years there in November is when we first started, 2018. So, yeah, only a few months away. We've come through this time of the COVID. Mm. And now we definitely want to keep it going, keep pursuing it. We were on a bit of a roll there, momentum before, all that situation started with, we were looking to get into more addressing the youth juvenile issues that we have here in Cairns. We were partnering up with a few organisations there, and then, unfortunately that come to a bit of a halt with the nation's focus going, to the virus and, defending ourselves and each other against that. So yeah, like with that, Uncle, how did you spend your time during that time? Because it was, a very disconnected time from everybody, and we had to really stay indoors, by ourselves. With the nation, we all went through it, and we saw the effects of more people feeling down and that disconnection. A bit of a rise there in domestic violence, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, what did you get up to during that time?
Oh, yeah, for myself and my family, extended family as well, is that we just followed the advice of the medical experts via the community plan, the governmental plans, lockdown, social distancing. So it was just par for the course that we had to follow these things, and I think it was for our benefit, because I made sure, just myself personally, that I didn't really go and mingle in places where there was a crowd or groups of people. And as you were saying, I think it was a little bit hard there, one part, because we noticed, and I think this was one of the telling points with the lockdown periods, is that the mental health issue and the mental anguish tend to rise a bit. Everybody had to change what was normal, if we can regard that as normal. But it snuck up on everybody worldwide. And this epidemic, should we say pandemic, caught everybody off guard. So with myself personally, I just followed what the procedures of the governments and the community advice that was going out on air. And hopefully it will get rains on this one. But yeah, it was mainly in lockdown and making sure that the family was safe, that there was plenty of mai, kaikai, taka in the fridge.
Which toilet paper did you end up getting any?
Oh, that one there, we're looking about at tea tree there. For tea tree bark, they want part? Nah. But I think it was a bit of hysterics that went on there. Because looking up on Facebook, and we see black fellas posting gum leaves with the toilet paper supposed to be, tallyho paper supposed to be, you know, that with the toilet paper supposed to be, they put in tallyho paper. Oh, I went down to the store this afternoon, and all I can buy was a big pack of tallyho paper. So I think everybody sort of had fun with that, if you can call it fun. But I don't think it was no joke, because I think there was a hysteria started to creep in there. And it affected a lot of people.
Mm. Oh, definitely. Yeah, such a weird thing to get hysteria over, toilet paper.
Oh, mate, and I don't know where that come from.
And got nothing to do with coughing and sneezing. But anyways, I think we've all learnt that lesson. And hopefully, you know, we go for the mai instead of thing. The toilet paper next time, got a bit crazy
bully,
for...
bully beef there was a bit scarce there. We had to go to a couple of stores, look for that one.
Yep, yeah.
And rice and flour, the normal foods that are in our pantries.
That's right, yeah.
I think everybody started jerrying on, you know, because with us indigenous people, you know, they are our staple foods, especially up in the north. Our flour, our rice, our bully beef, you know, staple things like that that we can supplement with a bit of bush taka, a bit of seafood.
Yeah.
And that went missing as well.
Yeah, because like you were saying, you know, we had to lock down. And yeah, last night at men's group was the first time I seen you since before it all happened. So it's been a while.
It has been a while.
So it was really good to see you when you rocked up last night. And for some reason, you looked a bit younger. But yeah,
I had a trim. I had a trim.
Nah, but yeah, usually doing a bit of singing and music lessons with the grandkids.
Had the grandchildren over. We'd have we could call it like little practice sessions on a Sunday afternoon, just to break their monotony and to keep them out of their parents' road for a few hours. And we would make sure that, you know, we use our time together as a family readjustment because of the pandemic. And it was actually good because I started passing on a bit of knowledge of music, singing, and the children got right into it. And they loved the old songs because my era. They were pretty sort of three-chord wonders, and it was easy to teach them, you know, just these simple chords and simple songs, and they really enjoyed it. So we used to have our little practice sessions, and we're going to start up again now they're back at school, but we'll continue our little music sessions, because now we've started, they've really taken an interest in music. So we want to keep that one going.
Too good. And yeah, I guess that's, you know, been, you know, one of the light positives out of, you know, the situation that, you know, really got to spend that really, you know, close quality time with family and, you know, and highlighting those kind of moments and, you know, those things a bit more better.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of my neighbours and... just briefly, just walking past, and I noticed them there with their kids in the garden, and they was doing things as a family. And I mentioned it to them. I think the positive that came out of it, it brought families together, you know, because of the busy lifestyle that most of us lead.
Yeah.
And this thing here put a halt to that. And it actually made us realize that the family is a structure that needs to be maintained. And during the lockdown periods, I think a lot of families did come together. And hopefully in a positive way, because I think that's one of the things, especially with us men folk, is that we've got to readjust ourselves, especially within the family situation, to make sure that we are, as men folk, being that stability within the family. And especially in a serious time like this, I think it's made a lot of fathers and grandfathers step up.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, yeah, so that's kind of, you know, one of the things that, you know, has been really great about that period, yeah. And, you know, with us highlighting our roles and, you know, how we can really be impactful and, you know, the things that we can do as well as a family and as men. But we'll go for a quick break. Stay tuned to Gugu Yarral and we'll
go to this song. Thank you.
Someone like It's your boy Bullet Pete, aka Optimus Rhymes, and you tuned in to the deadliest radio station, Far North Queensland. My playground. BBM 98.7 FM.
And welcome back to Gugu Yarral Kunjuru Men's Group Session here in Cairns. For those who are just tuning in to this program, the meaning behind Gugu Yarral is a Gugu Yalanji expression language. It means to talk straight, to talk the truth. And that's what we try to maintain, is that we put realistic ideas and realistic suggestions out there among our menfolk when we have our gatherings, that we have to maintain the realistic situations that we are involved in. So we name our program Gugu Yarral, meaning to talk the truth and to talk straight. And BJ, could you bring us up to scratch on what we done prior to this pandemic and how we were running?
Yeah, so after the Christmas break, we got back into it, and we wanted to reassessing from last year, which nights were good and how frequent the gathering should be. So we started Monday nights. We were going to get start weekly and then into fortnightly, just trial it. And with that, and then, you know, from those gatherings, we come together, you know, with our first couple of our Gugu Yarral sessions this year as well. We spoke about the, you know, what was really highlighted in the media a lot was the juvenile, crime that was happening. And, as a men's group and as, concerned, fellow First Nation people, we wanted to be a part of that solution, you know, from grassroots and be a First Nation,
Yeah, we want to act as a support group amongst our men folk, because in that last part of the year, we're talking about 2019, and it was even prior to that, there has been a big spike in juvenile crime, especially up around here in the north area where Cairns and Townsville. And that was very concerning to us. Actually, within our gatherings, within our meetings, that really took priority, because it was not only bothering us as individuals and as heads of family, it started to make the community, the greater community that we live in, very uncertain. Because how do we tackle this problem? Mm-hmm. How do we go about keeping our young people on the straight and narrow? You know, what is the straight and narrow? What is supplemented by living as a person to be given advice on how to live in the world? How do we treat one another? What is the morals that are involved in your learning and your education? And we talk about learning and education that comes and stems from our family situation, because that is the first institution of any community, is your family. Mm-hmm. That is where you learn morals. That is where you learn your spirituality. That is where you learn your existence, where you're from, how you fit in to the overall picture of community, family, and obviously, most importantly, as a person. So with this juvenile delinquency, we could call it, situation, that was one of our focal talking points. And we've thrown a lot of constructive ideas. We've started to network with the agencies, such as the courts, the housing, the housing situation of families, and how that's affecting juvenile delinquency. So within the networking or the structure that we could be involved in, that really started to take shape until the pandemic kicked in. And I think that put a hold on a lot of things. So I think we're starting from where we left off. And there has been very constructive talk by different agencies that see our group, which is mainly consists of a grassroots organization, that they would like to see us be involved in programs such as mentoring and sporting programs, cultural programs. So we want to try and reconnect with those ones who we've made connections with prior to this pandemic, to make sure that we keep on going with what we had as the greater picture to try and reel in this juvenile problem.
Yeah, definitely. Now we're, you know, we're back, and you know, we do want to put that focus back into that. It's not something that you know, it's forgotten, and you know, it's all COVID now, but that issue's still there. Our youth still need us, and you know, that's where, you know, we can't do it by ourselves. So we've got to all work together, and that's, you know, from, you know, organizations, that's elders, you know, all concerned, you know, men, and you know, all people in our community. That's how we're gonna, you know, improve and get better. We've got to help each other.
Yeah, and constructive ideas is, I think, is what's needed. We can talk about the problem. We can suggest. We can give big picture solutions. We can give small picture solutions. But what probably brings it home to us is that this cannot still going, still ongoing as it stands now. So probably what we need to do as a grassroots men's group is to start working from within. And that is what our main talking points was. What can we do from home? How can we start making our presence and our understanding known to our younger ones to help them become better people, because they're in a growing age where they need to have this information. So that was one of the talking points, that we've got to start from home. And the suggestions that were put to the men, to our group within our talking space, is that we first got to identify the problem from within to be able to seek solutions from without. And with having that understanding, we'd be able to be more effective as a group, because as individuals who have to be the man or the men from your particular home, your particular community, it's not just a standing up and say, we've got to do this and that. No, it takes strategy. And I think we've focused in and started to develop strategies there, one part, BJ. So hopefully we can pick that up again and start running.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
What was, do you remember the certain types of strategies that we tried to implement, especially with spear making, the cultural aspects, and there was the sporting aspect to yet to come into play. So we want to be able to try and initiate those type of programs from our standpoint.
Yep, definitely from, you know, from what we can, you know, our capacity and what skills we have, you know, that we can do offer and provide to the young people. And, you know, that's through culture and, you know, those kind of things, workshops that we can do, and, you know, also camps as well. So they were the kind of things we were looking into. And I think now we talked about it last night at the gathering, that, you know, we've just got to do it. We've just got to raise our own money, things like that, and you know that's always a barrier. But you know, we'll fundraise, we'll do whatever we can, you know, to make these kind of things happen for our youth. And yeah, hopefully we'll get some support along the way. But you know, as a collective, and as you know, a group and other organizations, you know, we can all chip in together and, you know, really make things happen.
Yeah, and part of the strategy too that we've talked about and over the previous year and a half is what strategies we can develop within our own network, because more or less everybody knows one another here in the community of Cairns and the district. We're mostly related to one another. There is the sad times that we had to go through, because there was plenty of funerals, a lot of our people passing away. When I look back at that there, I saw our family, along with the greater community, it always seemed that you come together at sad time. Maybe because things hit home harder when you lose a loved one. So, with that in mind there, we could actually empower ourselves to take that gathering or that understanding of community spirit when in sad time, and also implemented in good times. Because of this virus, a lot of activities, community activities, have been put on hold now. So we've got to be able to rework and put into implementations, I would say, a different way to structure things, so we could keep the network going, to keep the community functioning, and take what we have as a strength in the community. Just using the sad times of when people come together as a community and reversing that and putting it is when we're having, I would say the opposite of sad is good times. Why can't we use it and strategize around that so we can also maintain the community strength as a unified people? I'm talking as looking back and looking at things as a whole. The holistic view has to be maintained, that we must use what our logo or our saying on our shirt. Mm-hmm. Unity in strength, or should I say strength in unity, that's a bit better.
Yeah.
Yes, unity in strength in unity. And we want to be able to keep that one there afloat, to keep it above water, because this is a hard times now we're going to. We might be doubling down a little bit more, but we need that strength in one another to be able to try and keep ourselves functioning as Indigenous people.
Oh, definitely. We know we can achieve a lot, you know, a lot more when we're all in unity. We can see things happening around the world now, you know, where, you know, we're facing issues, but we're coming together. There's that togetherness that can, you know, really bring down the beast. And I think that's what kind of Queensland is in a good place at the moment, you know, with the number of cases, is because, you know, we've all together, you know, adhered to all of the restrictions and being good by that. And we continue to do that, so that'll keep the numbers down. You know, with the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, how about the mob in Brisbane, eh, and Sydney?
Yeah, well,
Penny, eh? 32,000.
That's what I mean. I actually call that sad time, Because why do we have to all come together in sad time all the time? You know, where is the strength in the good times? That has to be implemented. When things are sailing, you know, and it's calm waters, everything is going smooth, we must not forget that we still need one another. Not in the sad time, not in bad times. Black Lives Matter being adopted from the United States because of what's happening over there, coupled with our deaths in custody here, and also our resurgent of people going back to country. All these things are still there. They haven't shifted. They haven't been put on the back burner. They are still out there. So what do we do about that as a unified people? We must make sure that our family first is secure. My suggestion is that if that happens, that our family is secure and our greater family, you could regard that as community where you live in, is to be there for one another, to make sure that these things, that we have the Are You Okay program. There are other programs out there, mainstream programs that make sure that family structure is maintained. And I think being part of mainstream as an external outlook, but the internal outlook will always remain home first. And I think that is one of the things we must keep in mind, is that everything always starts from home.
Yeah, so we'll go to a break, so stick around for Google Yarrow, and we'll be back after these deadly songs.
Give me the open road that leads to the west. I guess I'll be saying goodbye. A station girl, yes, one of the best, with the western gleam in her eye. Give me the wattle and bloom and a plenty of room and a million stars in the sky. Give me a range that free and I'll yodel-a-dee-o-dee-o-dee-lay. Give me an open plain, give me a guitar and a western moon with its beams, so I can sing along to a million stars with the sweetest girl of my dreams. Give me a road that fills with flowers and birds while the mountain kisses the skies. Give me a winding stream and I'll yodel a dee o dee dee dee.
Yo, haray ako, ito nga, inipin mo, alam na makangama, BBM 98.7 FM. Thank you.
This is my kind of life.
Welcome back to Google Yarrow here on 98.7 FM. Thanks for joining, or staying tuned, or keeping with us here, Uncle Graham and myself, BJ. Coming to our kind of last part of our session here, you know, we want to talk about some of the good things that Kundur has achieved, you know, over the past year or so, and you know, really proud of you know, what we've done, and you know, the amount of men, you know, that we've reached so far, you know, that hopefully you've had a good positive impact on them. You know, coming and being connected with other men as well, and being a space for that, and being a available space for us to, you know, build each other up. And that's always been from Marseille, you know, grassroots, yes, from the start. Everything we do, everything, yeah, we've designed and developed around this men's group is from all our input.
Yes, and the achievements are being, there was a small mentoring program, especially in culture, with a cutlery masterclass.
Yeah.
That went over really well because, mm-hmm, learning from elder men, especially island men, how to do that cooking properly, how to prepare it properly, the stages that were involved. I think the participants really learnt a lot from that cutlery masterclass.
All that damper that making.
Yes, damper making.
Yeah, meat preparation and, yeah, all of that. Hey, all the vegetable preparation and, of course, the amai pit, that cutlery pit, how to get all that ready and then how to, you know, to monitor it and then to extract it then and serve it.
Yeah, and then we had spear making. It did not go right to the wasam because it was broken up in stages. The first stage was to go out and look for a spear stick. What is the wood that you need to make a spear? How to prepare that wood? How to straighten it? How to temper it? And then hopefully that's when the brakes were put on that one. But hopefully we can still continue with that because I still have the wood home there. It's all still straightened up and ready for the next stage. Yep. So we want to continue with that one. Yep. So that's our spear making. And hopefully we can also implement wop making and to make proper harpoon heads. And how to weave rope, how to make rope. So these are the cultural aspects that we've been, that we've been putting out there. And we see these as achievements because this type of knowledge we regard, and I think many listeners out there know that should not be lost because this is part of our makeup. And I think that's what we focus on, is what is the makeup of Indigenous peoples, is that we have a history and we need to maintain that history. And one of the things are artifact making. So making of spears, having the cutlery masterclass. What else was there that we could put down as an achievement? I think it was the screen printing as well.
Yeah, we did that of our own shirts to, you know, raise funds for our group. So, you know, we got some deadly people there that helped us make up their screens and show us how to do it ourselves. And that was a great experience. And we look to do more this year. So we'll be, so keep an eye, you know, through the channels there, and we'll be advertising that for, you know, support our men's groups, you know, buy a shirt, you know, from grassroots made by us, you know, with their hands, old school way. And that's what we
that's
wanted
what
from the start.
Is, yeah, it's
when we started.
Old school way with the making of the silk, the image on the silk, to stretch the silk material over a frame and to squeegee it on there. Mm. So it was all in good fun. But I think even that old style of designing and putting it on fabric still needs to be maintained as well because the TAFE people still would like to see that type of art continue.
Yep.
Because it comes back, and I think the using of natural dyes, we have people here who understand how to make the natural pigments, the natural dyes. So this is all part and parcel of cultural maintenance, and we feel happy that we were part of the maintenance of our culture to make sure it's passed on. And that is one of the things within our group, is that we've got to pass on knowledge. So they are three main achievements that we've done last year that I can think of off the top of the head. There was also the art with storytelling, coupled with storytelling that we wanted to push through with, but things didn't go to plan because of what's happened. So we've got things that want to be able to be implemented in the last part of this year to make sure that our cultural knowledge and cultural transfer of knowledge is still maintained within the group. But I like to also stress this, is that it does not have to come from a men's group program. For you men out there, you listeners, ones who have attained knowledge of cultural things that are meaningful to you, you need to pass these things on, because the children are growing up fast. And if we don't catch them early, the world will take them away and put another new culture in their mind. So we got to make sure that we maintain our culture within our up-and-coming generations. But you need to do it from home. I'll always stress that. That is where everything really starts. We are just an extension of the home, we'd like to call ourselves, because we are people who really care about our family. And the men that attend our group have really concerns, not just for their own family, but for the wider community. And we'd like to make sure that what we know and what knowledge we hold, as small as it may be, that it's still maintained and can be developed and passed on.
Yeah, we definitely, want to make all those things happen. And we know the work that's behind it, and, you know, really wanting to make it happen, or willing to do it. So there's things like, quality assurance and all that sort of thing. And us raising some funds, we need to get things in place, we want to get public liability insurance, that sort of stuff, so we can, hold these kind of workshops and things like that, with that peace of mind and thing for our, participants and ourselves. And because, we're doing all this on a volunteer basis, but, like we say, the more help that we get around, the stronger we are, and the things that we can do to help our community and each other. So there's definitely something, we can all really achieve together.
Yeah, and it's the future now that we're looking forward to. Also to the listeners out there, we don't expect to go back to what was regarded as normal, because I think what was supposed to be normal probably won't exist anymore. So everybody's got to rearrange their thinking, their lifestyle, their understanding of social contact, their understanding of how to maintain your home and your community. So there's going to be different strategies that will be implemented. This is the way I see, in the greater community, probably through government departments, probably through community advocacy and departments, because what we regarded as normal, I don't think will be or will exist as we once knew. So it's going to be a rethink now, wouldn't you say, BJ, that we have to rethink how we got to approach things, especially with what the health authorities are saying of second waves and how this thing won't go away. It could be, we could look at it as what the common cold was. And here's a bit of history for yous out there. What is regarded as the common cold never existed in this country before white fella come here. Yes, we had sniffles, we had chest infections, and we had colds. But the virus, which is called the common cold, did not exist in this country. That is why it makes us very vulnerable, is that any part of new viruses, neo-viruses that are now being part of the World Health Authority's concerns are going to be very, very dangerous for our people. So that history goes like this. Before Captain Cook come here, there was no common cold, what they saw, what they say. We did have remedies for coughs, for chest infection, but it was not the same virus. Always remember, these are different viruses that were introduced. And on top of that, you could say smallpox, the STD examples such as gonorrhea and syphilis. These things were did not exist here. So now Indigenous people are facing a new threat, and it's a threat that not even the greater communities of the world are able to cope with, because this is brand new for them. So we must learn from our past that these things are able to be relegated, especially with the new drugs that we take. But I say this, and I say it in this stressing form, is that there are still old remedies out there, bush medicine, that can still be used. So maybe the knowledge of bush medicines need to be brought back up to the forefront. And for those who hold that knowledge of bush medicines, they should be giving that practice out and making sure that people know about this, especially within your home and especially within your community, because it very well could help what now is known as a neo-virus, brand-new virus that is devastating the world now. So our people are very, very subjected to a dangerous situation at the moment. With white people, they built an immunity to that virus, that common cold. There was a certain immunity. For us today, we still not even immune to the common cold. It killed our people more than it killed non-Indigenous people, the common cold. So just imagine what effect this one now is going to have on us.
Mm. So, yeah, like we saying, you know, we call out to your help if you, you know, if you can and you have any ideas, things like that, you know, reach out to us, Kundur. Our email is kunjurmensgroup@gmail.com. You can reach me on 040-1934-060. And we're also on Facebook. So search Kundra, then you'll find our page and be able to keep up with us and even shoot us a message on there. And Uncle, we gather every Wednesday weekly, so 6:30 to 8:30 down at 156 Irene Street there, the Ndingi Centre, next door to Kangaroos. You know, bring a friend, plus one, yeah, carpool, or if you sub with someone that, you know, would like to come or need a lift, yeah, offer them and, yeah, let us know if you're coming along. It'd be really good to have you all.
And if you have children, especially you fathers out there who are single parents, if you have children, feel free to bring them as well, because there's a big space there where the kids can throw a footy around or kick a ball or, I don't know, play, do a bit of activities. We are trying to develop a couple of children activities, not just for small kids, but for teenagers as well, especially for the single parent ones. And so if you have children, feel free to even bring them, because there's a big space there that we that can be utilized, and we don't want yous to miss out if there's no one home to watch the kids. Please feel free to bring them as well.
Yeah, and big SO for tuning in today. Our first session back, and we wish to bring you more of these sessions every week, and, you know, we're back in a full swing, and, you know, we do this so that we can reach all the men out there that, you know, can't make it physically to our, gatherings on Wednesday nights. But we still want to, you know, make sure our reach is out as well. And, you know, we're touching and, you know, connecting with the men out there.
Yes, we want to be a part of the whole system of maintenance to keep our well-being afloat. I just want to say to everybody out there, please keep well. Make sure you look after one another. The things that are coming, things are yet to come. We'll wait and see what they are. But for this time now, us as Kunjuru Men's Group, we want to make sure that you are all okay. We throw big respects out there to make sure that our people keep safe within this time now. But as far as our men's group, we will keep on going. We are a grassroots men's group. We operate from our internal and external donations. If people feel free to donate to us, that would be a wonderful help, and make sure that we implement programs and strategies, because we will still maintain our operation from a grassroots level. We see this as operating from home, and that's where we'd like to end this program. Please keep safe, and yo, yalata from me.
Yo, much love.
And with this, we'd like to end this session with our mantra that we say every night after our meetings. And it goes like this. I will from this day.
I will from this day.
Know that I am worthy.
Know that I am worthy.
That I am respected.
That I am respected.
And that I have a role to play.
And that I have a role to play.
That I am a man.
That I am a man.
Who is strong spiritually.
Who is strong spiritually.
Mentally.
Mentally.
Culturally.
Culturally.
And physically.
And physically.
I am a leader for my family.
I am a leader for my family.
And for my community.
And for my community.
I'll give back to my family.
I'll give back to my family.
And my community.
And my community.
I am the foundation for a stronger future.
I am the foundation for a stronger future.
Thank you very much for listening.